Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. Today's guest is Yannis Koppel. Now Yannis is originally from Switzerland and he worked for 5 years in a travel industry. Yannis is, you know, he then moved to Swaziland to work for Doctors Without Borders. After that, he worked for the Red Cross in Uzbekistan and Tajikistan, visiting political prisoners and managing a team of 14. 3 years ago, he moved to California to do his MBA in Berkeley and started the company that he's the CEO of, We Travel. Welcome to the show, Yannis.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
For me, when I always have my guest, I always love the pre-intro section because I get to know a little bit more about them. And I found out, not surprising, that you speak French and you speak several other languages. And we sort of went on this diatribe about how in Europe it's very, very normal. But can you talk to us about the European lifestyle you initially had before you got into the travel industry?
I was actually born in Germany. Then we moved to Canada, to a tiny little village in the middle of nowhere. And then we moved back to Switzerland, but not to what I was used or what I would become used to in the German-speaking part. We moved to the French-speaking part of Switzerland. The reason was that my dad was a nuclear scientist. Well, he still is. He's retired now. But that, from a very early age on, kind of just threw me in these different backgrounds. I think I was too little to really take a lot from it. Maybe a little notch for learning languages, but that's it.
Yeah, no, and obviously it led to your jobs because you ended up working for 5 years in the travel industry. I'm just curious as to why exactly you chose those industries that you went into.
Yeah, totally. So it's funny. It's just traveling itself was always the motivating factor between me earning any money. I mean, my parents would feed me, right? So I didn't really care that much about clothes or anything. But I would take summer jobs where I was working in at a whole person's home. I was cleaning the hospital where my mom was working in as a nurse. I didn't do that for very long, to be honest. But I was selling yo-yos. I was doing all kinds of stuff, normally for a week. And then I would have enough money to leave for a week to go camping somewhere, maybe go even to the south of France. I remember some epic trips with friends back in high school. That was really what motivated me. And then with 17, I went on a high school exchange to the US. It was the first time that I left by myself for a longer period of time. And since then, I really haven't started traveling at all. Now I'm living in California, but before that, I haven't lived in the same place for more than 2 years since I was 17.
Wow. And how many years have you lived in San Francisco now?
3 years.
It feels like
home. It's crazy.
Hey, you might just be settling down now.
Who knows? It almost looks like it. I mean, I have a company, you know, I rent teams to school here. Like, yeah, it's looking like it.
Okay, you brought up the company, We Travel. What is WeTravel and what's the story of WeTravel?
Sure. So WeTravel is a platform for anyone that's organizing group trips. Think of it as if you're familiar with platforms like Eventbrite or Evite. So basically an online platform where anyone that has to organize a trip for more than 10, 15, 20 people can put the trip online, collect all the money through the platform, pay all the travelers, instead of doing all this manually. You know, like instead of collecting checks, PayPal, whatever, you have your own Excel sheets, all that mess. You can do it all through us.
So basically you said they can collect the money and they don't have to do it manually?
Exactly. So it's kind of like a big... the payment platform is probably the strongest part and the main reason why a lot of people use us. We have these huge student trips, right, where business school student would collect money for a trip to Costa Rica or to Israel for their 50 other classmates. So instead of them going around doing this all manually, they can just do it easily through our platform to see exactly what's paid. They can first collect the deposit and then remind everybody really quickly with one click to pay up the rest of the amount, which is normally a huge hassle, right, to get people to, to pay you some remaining amount that they owe you.
No. I mean, I completely agree. And I've been in those situations, and I can tell that, you know, this is something that can help. And for those listening, you know, as Johannes said, WeTravel is the online platform for anyone organizing a group trip, you know, built to simplify large group trips. The platform provides organizers with pre-departure tools to collect funds and organize logistics. Now, you guys had you've had one round, right, from three investors. Is that correct? That's what your Crunchbase says. I don't know if it's true.
We had it's the round's not disclosed yet, but we had a few more investors. We raised a normal seed round for Silicon Valley Center. So we've been very fortunate to be given a chance to really, really try this out and make this a huge business.
And the reason I'm asking this is because a lot of the listeners, you know, they do tend to obviously see culture in different ways, but they're very business minded. They're very entrepreneurial. And some of the questions they usually have are around pitching an idea to people or how that process is. So I was curious if you could share what that is. You're in the heart, you're in the heart of the entrepreneurial world right there. So I kind of want to know, you know, how it was for you when you went to those offices to pitch out to investors, potential investors.
Yeah, it's a fascinating question because I arrived here in Silicon Valley from Tajikistan, right? That's where I was working before. This is where I had the original idea. The original idea from WeTravel came from, I was working in the travel industry forever at the airport, doing check-in, but also working some with groups, etc., in Switzerland. And then in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, I was kind of on the side next to my day job organizing these trips for people. And I saw other people organize these really cool, amazing group trips, but they were normally individual people. And it was really weird because if you wouldn't know these people personally, there was no way to discover that they were organizing these amazing group trips. And all these trips were a bit – I was hesitant to book them. And people that came with me on these trips, they were also hesitant because they didn't know anything about me. I didn't have a professional-looking website. I didn't have any reviews out there, etc. So this is really where this idea came from, to have a platform for independent trip organizers that maybe do the semi-professionally, maybe they even do it professionally, but they're not part of these huge tour operators. Because these huge tour operators, normally their tours are really not that interesting, right?
Right.
Then I arrived in the US. I arrived in Berkeley. I was super lucky. I got a scholarship to come study at UC Berkeley, Fulbright scholarship, which really opened for me so many new doors. This is my lucky break. I arrived in Silicon Valley and just went to every event, right? I was new with everything. The terminology made no sense to me. Half the time, I didn't really understand what people were talking about, you know, like MVP, all kinds of different rounds, VCs, etc. First few months, I was just writing down every word. I didn't understand it. Then went to ask some classmates what that stuff meant. And my initial pitches were horrible, right? I mean, now we're in a situation where we employ people, we raise the Senate financial round, successful round of financing, etc. But this is 3.5 years after I first came to the U.S. and started pitching this idea to everybody. And in the beginning, I sounded horrible. I mean, we had this class in business school where you record yourself and a pitch coach gives you feedback over a longer period of time. And a couple of months ago, I listened to this recording again. It was just really bad. I would have never even wanted to work with me. I got really lucky that I found a CTO who then started the business with me, who was super talented and who believed in the idea. And then we onboarded a third co-founder later on. But that was surprising given what my pitch sounded like.
No, so I love that. I love that's a sign of growth.
Yeah, definitely. And it's honestly, you know, business school, the whole learning how accounting works and all of that stuff, you can do this by yourself. But what really helped me in school is kind of these soft skills. You know, learning how to pitch is probably the most important part of it.
Okay. Now,
but it's like learning an instrument. It's practice.
I bet. And you brought up your co-founder. You have two co-founders now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You met up one of your co-founders in a dinner party. Is that correct? What was the story?
Well, the story is a bit. It's really through a common friend. So I just pitched this idea everywhere. In San Francisco, there's all these events where you can go. You can probably go to 3-4 of these events every week, where there's some kind of speaker, and then there's like these mini pitches where people have like 30 seconds or a minute to explain their idea, what they're working on, why they're excited about it, etc. And I would go to all of them that I could find for months. I would just go there and tell them, hey, look, sound as good as now. Now I'm telling you the idea of WeTrial. And they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Back then it probably didn't make much sense. And I was just saying, hey, I have this idea of this marketplace for group trips, etc. And at one of them, there was this girl, a common friend of mine, who was like, hey, I have this friend who's working on a similar travel idea. You guys should meet. And then she had a dinner at her place. And this is where I met Garrett for the first time. And that was also extremely fortunate, because that's probably, when you're starting to do a business, that's the hardest thing, to find the right people to do it with. You can do it solo, but if you do a tech company, that's extremely hard, because you're never going to have both the marketing pitch and the technical skills. Or very, very rarely, you need good co-founders. And also you need them to just pull you through the dark periods that will inevitably come.
Absolutely. And that's, that's so true. I mean, as an entrepreneur myself, it's one of the hardest things to do is to find someone that you know, complements you. You know, and that's, you know, it's,
yeah.
Sometimes it's the reason why a lot of businesses fail. So I'm very, you know, I'm
totally.
I'm happy you guys are, you know, you were able to find a fit. Your team, it's also fascinating to me, because you have an interesting network of travel organizers. I believe, you know, when Sander, the outreach manager, reached out to me, he was talking about how your organizers include a Yale grad who leads groups that sign up for his tours with no idea where they're going. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You got a Cuban American dancer who is taking Americans to learn to dance in Cuba. And this is before the travel ban was lifted. I'm like, what is happening at WeTravel here? So how do you assemble all this? I mean, you guys are incredible. You got over, I mean, people speak over, what, 15 plus languages in your team? It's incredible.
Yeah, it's the team is one part. The organizers is another incredible part. So it's interesting. So we had, we actually just went on a team retreat, our first team retreat, because so my co-founder, Garip, he's originally from Azerbaijan. He's now a U.S. citizen, but he had a successful tech career in Azerbaijan. He was the CTO of the largest bank there when he was 22 or something crazy like this. And then Zaki, our third co-founder, he's from Indonesia. So we got this incredibly international team. And then we have people from Germany, Latvia, Lithuania, and the U.S., of course, as well, that work for us, as well as people from the Ukraine. So, I think because we're all immigrant founders, we attract people that are also immigrants. Mm. And I guess we have a very open, transparent, and also very direct work culture that might be even, that I realized once we started also having some Americans on our team, that it's just a different way of giving feedback and of interacting with each other. I'm not sure what came first, you know, but maybe it's also the travel aspect that, of course, attracts a lot of internationals.
I know. I mean, so a lot of what I do outside of this is I go to companies and I speak on how to, you know, work across cultures, cross-cultural communications. And it involves.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Exactly what you're saying, because your team is the perfect example of a truly international team, but with everyone with different styles. And a lot of what I see when I go to these companies is there's some people with a collectivist mindset, some with an individualistic mindset, some people not used to the power distance index. And they're like, okay, I didn't like that feedback. But it's so interesting to me as you're the CEO of mm-hmm. such an international company. What are the lessons that you've learned as you deal with several cultures? Do you have to adjust your leadership style as you're talking to someone from another culture, or do you just do a one size fits all and everybody sort of buys into that company culture?
No, that's actually a super fascinating question. And I was just about to write a blog post on that because it became extremely clear to me when we, let me talk a little bit more about the setup of WeTravel. And I think that's really interesting for people that are thinking to outsource any engineering or IT things or ideas that you have, because building stuff in the U.S. is extremely expensive, especially if you're talking about hiring engineers or developers in San Francisco and the Silicon Valley. So a lot of people outsource, but it's really not easy. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to pay $20,000 and they're going to build me this app. That's totally not how it works. Right? So we are in a really fortunate situation because Garib is from Azerbaijan, and he has such a fantastic career there that all the best engineers there know him, trust him, and are eager to work for us. So we can hire really loyal and super talented people from Azerbaijan, which is fantastic. But what I realized while working with them, mainly online, is that the only reason why I'm able to work with them really well is because I have the cultural background. So with Direct Cross, I was in Uzbekistan and Tajikistan. I speak Russian, right? Most of them do as well. That's mainly how they communicate. And it's just such a different culture. If I wouldn't have that background of living in Central Asia for 3 years, I'm 100% sure we would have so many more communication problems.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And that's fascinating to me. And that's the world that I'm in. And the reason I ask you this question is because you look at the world 2016 has been, right? Everybody has always said globalization is great. You know, we've had globalization. We've had increasingly digital platforms. And I love that. But what I've noticed is that people haven't caught up to the globalization and digitalization of the world.
No.
And 2016 has been a reflection of how divided people are, or whether it's out of fear or people just didn't understand their neighbors. And I was like, I wonder how we can fully take advantage of the global world we live in. And your team is a full, perfect example of that. You all have international people there. And the thing is, you've found a way to actually work together. That's not a reflection of society when everyone from different backgrounds comes together. It seems to be like my side versus your side versus their side. So that's why I was asking that question, because I'm always taking in case studies to see how CEOs and leaders like yourself found a way to make it, you know, not a seamless transition, but to work with different types of people and make them feel equally at home. Because it's tough. It's just a tough thing.
And it's tough. It's tough. I mean, to give you a concrete example, it's funny because Europe is pretty direct already, you know, don't normally sugarcoat feedback, etc. But when I work with my 2-3 American employees, I normally am a bit more careful, right? I do the sandwich technique, like, look, what he wrote here is fantastic. Maybe we can improve that middle part, but overall, great job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So when we have discussions about maybe the way to implement a certain feature or so, with the developers from Azerbaijan, right, we literally scream at each other until we find a solution. But then we get really loud for maybe 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, and afterwards we're best friends again. You know, it's like it's almost like it's not an outlet for frustration, but it's an outlet to have your voice heard.
Fascinating.
And if I would have not had that cultural background and experience and knowing that that's kind of normal, that you can actually scream at each other and the next day be totally cool with it, or even 10 minutes later be totally cool with each other again, I would probably not be able to deal with this. The thing is, 2016 also completely blew my mind. I mean, Brexit was honestly a huge shock for me because, although it's weird because Switzerland is not part of the European Union, but the European Union is such a peacemaker. And I mean, we live in the most peaceful Europe that has ever existed, right? And then there's obviously the US election. And I just realized we work really well together as an international team, but we are also the fortunate ones, right? We are this digital nomads or this digital elite that profits from globalization. Yeah. And it is painfully clear that we've left way too many people behind.
Yeah, and
it's something happened to my lot.
And that's perfectly said. For me, I've always that was what fueled all this stuff that I'm doing is I'm trying to bridge that disconnect because we live in a time like you say, many areas they're experiencing a lot of peaceful, but there's also a lot of inequality and there's also a lot of ignorance. But we have the resources to bridge all these gaps. We have enough food to end the type of poverty, but what is it that we can do as a society to fix those? And I haven't found the solution at all, but I'm always curious. I'm always curious because it's there's so many barriers that one has to go through, but it's fascinating for me talking to people like you. Maybe one day.
I think it's really it's of course on a much bigger level, but for me, I can just talk from personal experiences. And this is why I love traveling all my life and why I decided to come back to the travel industry as well after the Red Cross. Because I still do believe that if you have once really lived abroad or experienced another culture truly, not just going to a resort hotel or a 1 week quick stop somewhere at the beach, but really lived in another culture for a longer period of time, have friends in that culture, maybe speak another language. I truly believe that broadens your worldview and also just makes you more tolerant in general.
Absolutely. And, and hopefully when people go onto a platform like yours, the platform you're creating, which is WeTravel, they can, learn a lot from the teams that they're assembled with. One of my favorite travel experiences was in college when we went to, I forget the name. I think it was EF Tours, I believe. So we took a business class and it was to Rome, Greece, and Turkey. And I remember a lot of us had not even known who the other person was. But we came out of that trip. It was about 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks, feeling much closer and knowing a lot more about each other because a lot of us got lost in the cities, we had to find our ways. Mm-hmm. But, we were also embedded in several of the cultures. And we adventured out. We were left to our defenses. And it was interesting what we discovered about ourselves. And I've had some of those lifelong friends just from that experience. Never took a class with any of them.
Totally. Now, traveling, that's the other amazing part about traveling. It's just the group trips are sometimes, I sometimes hear friends of mine say, but these group trips are not really my thing, etc. But group trips do something amazing. They also they show you the great sides and the horrible sides of any person you travel with, right? Go on any trip with them for 2 weeks and you'll know them afterwards. And my three best friends from college are the three buddies that we decided to go traveling afterwards for a month. We did a road trip through Europe because one of them was from Macedonia. So we drive to Macedonia and it was incredible. Right. And we're going to be lifelong friends after that for sure.
No, absolutely. You are in Financial Times and, they've described you guys as a company on an upward path. So for those listening, I would definitely encourage you all to check, what WeTravel's up to. What they're doing, and Johannes is someone that fully embodies what he's doing. And, he grew up, as an aid worker, and he didn't expect to hit a startup idea, but then it's since grown, and now look what he's doing. He's connecting people across different cultures, and he's helping people experience travel in a whole different way. So I don't know if you wanted to talk to the audience and tell them where to find you and what next is up for WeTravel. But I wanted to give you the floor.
Sure, absolutely. So we see tons of potential. It's really hard to predict where your company is going to go because I realized one thing. Once you build something, it's not really in your hands how people are going to use it. We initially built this platform with people like me in mind or people I've met on my journeys who would tour guides. But then once we released the first version of the platform, every business school in the U.S. started using us, right? They started using us to organize their private group trips.
Right.
It was totally unexpected, but of course, we're not going to turn them away and say, hey, no, you shouldn't use our platform. And what happened since is that yoga teachers discovered us because they organize all these yoga retreats and it's messy. They collect checks in class and whatever. They hate it. And they see our platform is like, wow, this is fantastic. I'm going to put my trip on there and organize everything for you guys. We really want to branch out. We see yoga kind of as the one niche we're in right now, but we have other fantastic trips, right? You mentioned the salsa trip to Cuba. We have dance trips to Brazil. We have people that organize trips to the Himalaya. Daryl, who you mentioned, who does these adventure, you don't know where you're going trips, which are so great, and they're always super cheap. So we really hope to become the platform for any passionate individual that organizes small group trips to organize it through us, to get more customers through us, and build this into a global community of people that like to really travel in small groups.
Well, there you have it. You know, the company's founded by Johannes Koppel, but you also got two co-founders. The company's three co-founders, Johannes, Gary, and Zaki, are immigrants hailing from Switzerland, Azerbaijan, and Indonesia. And they met, started the platform at UC Berkeley, and they collectively speak 15 languages and have traveled to over 80 countries. If you want to find out more about what they're up to and what they're doing, head over to www.wetravel.com. You know, they've got a pretty amazing story. Johannes is obviously a class act and very charismatic, as you can tell. So I would love for you guys to check out his platform and see what it's up to. I usually close out my interview with this, and it's my mission statement. You know, use your difference to make a difference. How do you, Johannes, use your difference to make a difference?
That's a great question. I've been extremely fortunate in my life. I grew up as a middle-class Swiss kid. You know, it doesn't get much better if you can get born anywhere in terms of security, financial stability, etc. You know, two parents that loved each other that are still together, also so rare in this world. And I was always wondering why I got to be so lucky, and giving part of that back to the world was really something that always inspired me. I was really lucky to be able to do so with the Red Cross, where I had experience that very few people have, you know, visiting political prisoners and leading this little office at the Afghan border in Tajikistan. And I want to continue this with WeTravel. I really believe that if we start traveling in different ways, not with huge tour operators or going to resort hotels somewhere where we have hardly any contact with the people, with the country we're actually visiting, but if individuals that we're really passionate about take you on these amazing journeys, I think it can open the world and bring some people together. I definitely want to continue this with WeTravel.
I definitely can see how that will happen. And I'm inspired by your story. I'm inspired by what you want to do. And hopefully, you guys can help change the world for the better. If you want to find out more about Johannes and what he's up to, make sure you head over to WeTravel.com and you'll be sure to see what he and his team are doing. But till next week, ladies and gentlemen, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.